This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and Caleb Williams is dropping dimes out here. I mean, he just found his tight end on the left side. In stride, Colston Loveland. I mean, you couldn't throw a prettier ball at the angle he had to throw it at. It was absolute brilliance. I'm telling you right now, if you have an issue with Caleb Williams, it has nothing to do with football. And it mostly has to do with your childhood and things that happened to you and you being uncomfortable with someone else being different than you. Because right now, there are no critiques of the football player known as Caleb Williams. He is absolutely brilliant. He is dialed in, and he looks like a franchise stud quarterback. He's made three or four throws tonight that there's only a couple of guys in the league who can do it, and he's one of them right now. He's got Chicago with a chance to take the lead. They're driving at the 21-yard line of San Francisco, 35-35, 7:18 to go, Sunday night football. And right now, the Bears are 3.5-point favorites. We just took them plus 110 on the money line prior to this drive because I didn't think they were going to stop scoring. Now, I do think San Francisco wants this. They want the fast pace. They want to go shot for shot. It's just the Niners had to punt. Unfortunately, they finally had a drive where they had to punt. Chicago had three punts in the first half. San Francisco had one. San Francisco in the second half, one punt, and now Chicago has none, as there's going to be a flag on this play. Is it going to be on Loveland or the defender? I think it's on the defender for knocking him in the helmet after the play was done. So Colston Loveland, not only does he pick up a nice catch, and by the way, he's having a brilliant day, 3 for 77 through the air for the tight end out of Michigan. So he's gone over on his propage because Colston Loveland was set at 3.5. So we still need one more for the receptions. But in terms of yardage, he's already there. 42.5 was the number. He has 77, including a long of 36 in this game. But here we are with Chicago with a chance to take the lead. 35 all is the score. In-game total bumped up to 82 and a hook. Is that the highest we've seen? Or we saw 84.5. We saw 84.5 briefly. I don't think overtime's out of the question here. I do not think that. As Caleb Williams does a play fake and dumps it off now to Loveland, that's only going to be a 2 or 3 yard gain. So we'll have to see what Chicago does here. This is where the analytics people and I may disagree. I think Chicago, if they stall out and don't score a touchdown and have to settle on fourth down, I don't mind a field goal. I don't mind going up three. At some point, the defense does have to do its job. Now, neither defense has done much today, but I lean that way. Hopefully, we won't have to see that as Chicago with the ball at the 8-yard line on a second and goal. And Caleb, ooh, a little underhand pass to Monongai, but it sniffed out. That was interesting. So Caleb went play action, looked downfield, and then went underhand to the running back Monongai, but there was a linebacker or a lineman just waiting to swallow him up. And unfortunately, now it's a third and goal, and I think they're at about the 10-11-yard line following that play. By the way, Monongai did have a couple runs on this drive. He's now at 8 for 38. We went in-game over 41.5 rush yards for him. It's not out of the – we're not out of question of getting that, but I don't think he's going to get it here on this drive. We may be running out of time. 5:40 to go. Clock is moving. And a third and goal from the 11 coming up for Chicago. And they would have to settle for a punt for a field goal if they do not score on this play. Caleb with a good pocket to throw through, dumps it off, and he overthrows Monongai. And now we will see the special teams unit come out on 4th and 11 from the 11 and a Chicago potential lead about to happen on a field goal. Right now, 35-35 is your score, as they were just showing Ben Johnson, but there's no way he can leave the offense out for that. That's way too far to go for it in this instance. So here comes Chicago and the kicking unit. And we'll see if they can take the lead here. And they're lining up. 5:26 to go. A 29-yarder is about to be on the way. And it is up. It is good. And it's the Bears with the lead. 38-35 over the San Francisco 49ers. Cairo Santos, his first field goal of the game, is good. And just like that, Chicago has the lead. Right now, your in-game total is down to 79.5. So let's think about that briefly. We're at 73 points scored in the game. At, 73 points scored in the game, which would mean two more field goals they're thinking. They're thinking San Fran would settle for a field goal, and then we get a field goal from Chicago to win it, no more touchdowns. So they're essentially saying they don't believe another touchdown is going to be scored with 5:52 to go. Well, being that San Fran needs a touchdown to win, I don't think that's correct. I do. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if I was going to bet something right now, I'd go over 79.5. That's what I would do. I think San Francisco absolutely has a chance to score a touchdown. And if they kick a field goal, that means we're likely heading towards overtime. And then in overtime, we'd be sitting at, what, 76 points in the game. And then a field goal would lose. We would lose the under in overtime, but both teams get possessions and neither defense has made a stop. I think I just talked myself into the, although the over is now juiced at 79.5 at -175. Let's see. Do I have a better number here? Let me see what we're looking at here. Some other options. It's -190. Okay. I see what they're doing with that heavy juice. You're not going to fool me. Although you fooled me for about, 3 minutes there as I discussed it here on the show. It's cashing out, by the way. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got a lot to get to over the course of the next couple hours. We'll do a Monday Night Football preview with the Rams going to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. I've got breakdowns when it comes to first touchdown scorers, a couple of props that I really like. They'll be up at VSiN.com/picks. Plus, we'll look down at all the crazy action from earlier in the day here in Week 17 because there's a lot on the line next week, and a lot of it was decided today. Where I got to be honest, I think this thing's wide open. Super Bowl, AFC, NFC, you name your teams you like. Go for it. I'll tell you, sure, I can see it happening because there is nobody who stands above the rest of the field. Anyone can go on a run here, and I think it's great. I think it's going to make for a really fun postseason. We saw history made with Jacksonville, history made with New England today in Drake May. We've seen the MVP market shift a bit coming off a monster day for Drake May and his sophomore campaign against the Jets. We've got a lot to discuss when it comes to the AFC North. We'll look at the NFC South, where neither team apparently wants to win it with Carolina and the Buccaneers. But right now, we're focused on Sunday Night Football. 5 minutes and 22 seconds to go. The Bears just kicked the field goal to take a 38-35 lead. We went money line, +110 on the Bears prior to that drive. They're making us look smart. Do we want to do something here? There's nothing really worth taking at this point in time other than I would lean on that over, but at -180 juice, I can't do that. But I do anticipate a pretty inspired drive coming here from San Francisco. They have avoided throwing to Christian McCaffrey most of this game. And I went back and looked. With George Kittle out of the lineup, Christian McCaffrey gets used way more as a pass catcher in this offense. However, that hasn't been the case tonight. He has 2 catches for 20 yards. So I'm anticipating here on this drive, this is where they unveil all of those looks to just get McCaffrey the ball in space and let him make plays. Now, he's running the ball well against this Bears front. 22 carries, .136 on the ground. They could stick with that, but Brock Purdy's been really good throwing the football. I think they want to give him some options here as they do run it with McCaffrey on the first play of this drive, and he picks up a few yards, probably about 4 yards on that play. I'd like to see them throw it to him. If we can just go over one of them, either the receptions or the yardage, I'll be happy. We're sweating out a bunch as part of our Sunday sweats. Was that not McCaffrey on the field? That was not McCaffrey, or McCaffrey was, they're showing a replay. McCaffrey getting worked on. See, this is the problem. When you overuse Christian McCaffrey, he gets hurt. And like, by the way, he's got marks all over his jersey, his bodies. I'm not calling him soft. I'm just saying like he takes a beating. He's a thick dude. Sup? Okay, next play, 2nd and 6 coming. Purdy looking. And that was a pass intended for McCaffrey, and it was knocked away by a defender. Great play. I think that was Gardner Johnson who came in and swatted it from Christian McCaffrey. We could have used that. Now San Fran's facing a 3rd and 6. Dare we see back-to-back stops by the Chicago defense? No way. No way that's what's about to go down. All right, what do we got? What do we got on old 3rd down here? And by the way, Purdy just, no one was open. No one was open for him. You can only do so much. He had a ton of time. And once that clock starts going, you get a little nervous as a quarterback. And he might have rushed that throw at the end to McCaffrey. Here's Purdy looking under a little bit of duress, and he dumps it off. That is the tight end, Tongis, and he picks up the 1st down. Tongis picks up a 1st down, his 7th catch of the day, 60 yards for him, And that will keep the drive going with 4:17 to go for the San Francisco 49ers. But the clock's moving, 3:33 left. I mean, optimally, if you're a San Francisco fan, if you're on the staff, the goal is score a touchdown and leave as little time on the clock as possible, because Chicago would then need a touchdown to come back and tie this thing up. So let me see. That is a pass. That is McCaffrey. It's not a ton of yardage, but hey, it'll help us get closer to our goal here of either over 5.5 receptions or over 45.5 yards. Pretty evident that Chicago knows that Brock Purdy wants to throw to McCaffrey on this drive. They've got a couple of dudes just sitting there right with him wherever he ends his route. 3:33 to go. Clock on the move. 38-35. Bears with the lead. They're laying 1.5 right now. Total is 79.5. Uh-oh, does that mean something big's about to happen for the Niners? Because they're at their own 38-yard line with the football as Purdy's looking. That is a screen. Oh, no. Tonjes. There's a flag on the play, though. Curious what this is. They ran a tight end screen, and Tonjes had a chance with some space and some blockers to pick up some chunk yardage there, and unfortunately couldn't hold on to the football. That is on the defense, by the way, the penalty. So San Francisco going to get a new set of downs to work with, move up a few yards as well. And this number's off the board. Chicago is laying 2.5. It just popped back up. 2.5. And oh, no. San Francisco's laying 2.5. Oh, baby, what's going on? What's going on? All right. I want to see what this next play is. But San Fran, down 38-35, they're laying 2.5. Total 79.5. We'll tell you what the Niners do coming up in the next segment when Nick Whalen from RotoWire joins us right here on Cashing Out.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circus Sportsbook, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. While we're away, the San Francisco Niners took the lead once again, 42-38, a 38-yard touchdown catch by Juwan Jennings, who has been mostly quiet tonight for the Niners. He was plus 115 to score a touchdown. With that catch, he now has two catches for 42 yards, which by my math puts him, he still needs a little bit of help to go over on his yardage for the night. But he does find the end zone. Everyone's finding the end zone. If you bet an anytime touchdown prop in this game and it did not cash, I don't know what to tell you. You got to reevaluate the process, because just about everyone you thought would score coming into the game has scored. And there's a transition about scoring and him being a new father, but I'm going to avoid it right now. He is Nick Whalen, RotoWire senior analyst, and he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line to help me make sense of this, man. You said it before in the break. Is this just great offense or bad defense? I think the answer is yes to both, but this is what you want to see with the one seed on the line between these two teams. What do you make of the Niners up 42-38 on the Bears?
This is suddenly one of the wildest games of the year. And, you know, we had a high total coming in. I think we knew what both of these offenses are capable of. But to kind of answer the original question, or at least try to answer it, I think this is more bad defense than great offense. I mean, you got to give props to Caleb Williams. Brock Purdy now has strung together three really, really impressive games in a row. The mobility from both of those quarterbacks has been on display. But my goodness, man, the Bears are at like 8 yards per play. I mean, San Francisco is creeping up on 7.5. I mean, we're talking like truly historic territory for Chicago. I looked this up just before hopping on. I mean, this is on pace to be one of their five best yards per play games of the last like 35 years of Chicago Bears football. So, you know, both offenses feel like they're trending in the right direction. I think you have to be concerned, though, for both defenses, considering the field in the NFC. You know, I really want to believe in this Niners team. You know, we know how well schemed they are. We know what they're capable of offensively, but we started to see this even last week against Indy, right? I mean, against Phillip Rivers, they were getting gashed for three quarters. Even the week before that against Tennessee, I thought they had a lot of letdowns against a really bad team. So, you know, as always, it's going to be very matchup dependent, I think, for both of these teams. You know, if the Bears do indeed get the Green Bay Packers in round one, I think you have to feel good about that if you're Chicago, but that's still going to be a toss-up game. You know, San Francisco, obviously they could beat Carolina or Tampa Bay. They've already beaten Seattle. You know, Philly would be a very interesting matchup, but the Niners defense specifically, you know, this is 3 weeks in a row now where I felt like things have been trending downward, and this has been an alarming performance.
The defense has been bad, but can we talk about Caleb Williams for a moment? I feel like he's made like four throws tonight that maybe five or six guys in the entire league can make right now. Yeah. I think even though it's a soft defense, he has been absolutely brilliant. What do you make of the way that Ben Johnson has brought Caleb along throughout the season and feels like he's hitting his stride when it matters?
No question. No question. You know, the same thing we're seeing with my guy down in Duval County, Trevor Lawrence, I think we're seeing with Caleb Williams as well, where it feels like every single week you're looking back and saying, man, did I just see him play one of the two or three best games of his career? And, you know, this is going to be up there as well. It certainly helps when you're not facing a ton of pressure. You know, the one thing I will say against Caleb Williams is the last few weeks when we've seen some of these defenses, you know, just throw an all out blitz at him, he does still kind of panic in those situations. He, you know, he's had a couple intentional grounding type of situations. So there is still some progress to be made, I think, for Caleb Williams. But even some of the wide open throws that he's hitting tonight, you think of that one on the previous drive to Colston Loveland down the sideline. That was an incredible throw. Those were the exact type of throws that were often there last season and even over the first half of this season for Caleb Williams. And he was seeing them. He just wasn't making them, right? And now they're right on the mark every single time. And he's doing this, of course, without Roma Dunze. He's doing this with a limited version of DJ Moore, who popped up on the injury report earlier today. It's not like he has this elite suite of weapons necessarily alongside him. So, you know, coming into the season, compared to where we were, Dustin, heading into week one, where, you know, there was that crazy report that came out in August and nobody from the Bears denied it. And you're wondering, like, man, what is this Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams relationship going to look like? I think you give a lot of credit to Caleb Williams. You give maybe even more credit to Ben Johnson for kind of finding a medium, right? Because he is working with the complete opposite of the type of quarterback that he had in Detroit and Jared Goff.
Yeah, and he's allowing him to play out of structure at times, which is really hard for coaches to do. It's like, give them the leash to make some things happen and have some creativity and put their own wrinkle on the offense. He's Nick Whalen, RotoWire senior analyst at Whalen. The L is a one on X. How about the NFC South? Apparently nobody wants to win it. I was kind of shocked at what went down earlier today. The Bucs lose outright 20-17 to the Dolphins. The Panthers, who are tied 3-3 with Seattle at home, end up losing 27-10. Help me make sense of the NFC South, where next week it'll come down to the Panthers at Tampa, where the Bucs are laying 3 and the total's 43.5.
Yeah, I think what we saw about what I expected, at least from Carolina, which was, you know, showing up for a half, making that a competitive game, something they've done over and over this season. We've seen similar games from Seattle, too, right? Where, you know, well, they'll play a team where they're a 7+ point favorite and they'll mess around in the first half. You'll have your concerns about Sam Darnold. And then eventually that defense will carry the day, much like it did against Carolina. I don't know what to make of the NFC South. I'm just not that interested in it, to be honest. I've been hanging on to my priors for way too long with the Buccaneers. You know, I know they're favored in that game next week. I think that's correct because I still think they are a much better team deep down than the Carolina Panthers. With that said, how could you have any faith right now in the Buccaneers coming out and winning that game? I absolutely hate what I'm seeing from this team on both sides of the ball. I mean, this defensive collapse now has gone on for 6 or 7 weeks. They've been one of the worst secondaries, if not the worst, in the NFL over that span. They know what the problem is. They can't fix it, even against bad offenses. And Baker Mayfield, look, I don't know if we're going to get the post week 18. Oh, he's been playing through a torn labrum or something like that. I'm sure we will. I still don't think it excuses some of the decision making, some of the lack of escapability that was there early in the season. It's just all these things that were working for Baker Mayfield, all these things that were working for Tampa Bay. By the way, when they were decimated with injuries at wide receiver and running back, they have their guys back and they're playing worse than ever. I have no idea what to make of it. I just think whatever team, it's going to be an NFC West team. Whatever team gets Tampa Bay or gets Carolina in round one, I think that's going to be a walkover.
Yeah, it's crazy. Tampa Bay has gotten healthier and they've gotten worse. They've also had 8 straight losses against the spread. They've lost 7 of 8 since their bye. They're an NFL worst 5-11 against the spread this year. After I remember at one point you and I were talking where I was having FOMO for not having a Baker Mayfield MVP ticket early in the year.
Imagine that.
This is how far we've come. By the way, on a 2nd and 5, Chicago's going to get bailed out by a penalty on San Fran holding Luther Burden downfield. Give them a new set of downs. 1:55 to go. They're at their own 39, trailing the Niners 42-38. With a chance to win the game, essentially, with a touchdown here, because a field goal won't do anyone any good, as Caleb on 1st and 10, second ball in this drive, batted down at the line of scrimmage. Don't love that, but got to appreciate the pressure that San Fran's getting when they need it the most after no defense being played at all during this game. All right, let's go to a game where I don't have a vibe, but when we're coming off the AFC North today with Pittsburgh and that showing against Cleveland, and then Baltimore pulls off the win yesterday. That sets us up next week. Week 18, the North is on the line. The North doesn't want to remember what they're going to see right now. The Ravens laying 3, mm-hmm. The total's 42.5. How can you feel good about either of these teams, Nick?
No, it's a not quite a mirror image, I would say, of the NFC South. I think it's a little bit sadder in the NFC than it is the AFC, because Pittsburgh had real momentum, I think, coming into this game against Cleveland. I was really disappointed by what we saw from the Steelers. You know, they basically did the same thing that Green Bay did when they lost to the Browns early in the season, which was play not to lose, you know, over scheme against Myles Garrett. And then all of a sudden you look up and it's like, oh boy, we might only have 2 more possessions and we're down and we need to score. And you can't do it against that Browns defense. I mean, it does feel like the pendulum has now shifted back in favor of Baltimore. I mean, we'll see if Lamar is even out there. I know as of today, it was considered a 50-50 call. Tyler Huntley obviously played well enough against Green Bay the other night. I'm not sure you could count on running the ball as well as they did against the Packers. Thought that was another shockingly bad defensive game for Green Bay. I think my initial lean would be on Pittsburgh, just to take the points here. It's going to be a total toss-up game. I think Pittsburgh on balance has been the better team this season. You know, maybe you get TJ Watt back next week and he's at full capacity and that changes things. I think Baltimore has kind of showed us who they are this season. And look, maybe they're discovering this in week 17 that, hey, if you just hand the ball off to Derrick Henry against vulnerable defenses, that's all you have to do. But the greater sample to me suggests that somehow I trust this version of the Ravens less than I do the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I agree with you. It's crazy because I just watched the Steelers do nothing offensively against the Browns. And
Absolutely, I
think there's a mutiny happening in Baltimore. I don't think it's crazy that John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson may both be gone next year. There's something weird happening behind the scenes, and I don't want to back it in any which way. He is Nick Whalen. Check him out on X, at Whalen. The L is a 1. Rotowire.com senior analyst. Appreciate, as always, my friend, you doing this. Have a great new year. We'll chat in 2026.
All right, looking forward to it, man. Enjoy the rest of this game.
3rd and 4 for Caleb and the Bears, and Caleb uses his legs to pick up a 1st down. 1:17 to go. 42-38. San Francisco with the lead. We'll have the end of Sunday Night Football right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And as the official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. It's not just about placing a bet. It's a helping bettors at all levels with AI handicapping tools that make you a smarter bettor. Right now, you can take advantage of First Bet's limited time $250 sign-up offer. To claim your bonus, use promo code VSiN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or at firstbet.com. That's promo code VSiN250.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson with you all night long from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Sunday Night Football has been one of the craziest games we have had in this time slot all season long. We are at the 33-second mark of the 4th quarter. San Fran leads Chicago 42-38. The Bears driving into San Fran territory with a 4th and 5, and they just used their 2nd timeout. The 1 seed and being in the mix is on the line for both of these teams. There's still a lot to be worked out with Seattle looming next week for San Francisco to face them straight up. But Chicago as well has a chance to be the 1 seed as well if they can win this game. So 1 seed on the line, at least between these two teams tonight, and they're playing like it. It's been fireworks after fireworks. And does Ben Johnson have a play up his sleeve in his back pocket for a 4th and 5 and the one seed on the line from the 34-yard line of San Francisco? 33 seconds to go. The Bears have a timeout remaining. Chicago with the football. And Caleb, with a pass to Loveland, that's down to the 12. Get to the line and spike it. You might be able to get 2 or 3 plays off from the 12. What are they going to do? They use their final timeout. I don't hate this. I don't hate this. Ben Johnson saying, I want maximum cracks at the end zone. Hey now. So that's what they'll do. No timeouts. Caleb can't afford to take a sack right now. What's interesting is the Bears are minus 144. They were minus 154 on the money line. Can someone explain? I might just get off my bet right now. I went Bears in game plus 110. Oh, it just went from plus 110 to minus 105 on the Niners. I mean, I can theoretically do that, although it's off the board here because in Vegas, they're scared. No, it's back now. Minus 120. I'm not going to touch it. Not going to touch it. But I had a chance there at plus 114 for a brief second. I could have gotten plus 114 on the Niners, which that didn't make sense. They're up 42-38. Chicago needs a touchdown. And they've still got to go, hey, you know what? I was wrong, 13 yards. They've got to go 13 yards. They're at the San Francisco 13. So we're going to ride with Caleb and company. Do they have more magic? Do they have another miracle? And here's Caleb in the end zone, throws it away. Throws it away, nothing doing on first down. They can still technically pick up a first down, but it's highly unlikely. And the thing is, whoever gets the football, they're going to need to be near the sidelines, because they're running out of time to get to the line to spike the ball now without a timeout. I don't disagree with the call by Ben Johnson. He wants as many full chances to try and score this thing, but, oh, God, this is going to be tough. They're kind of in no man's land play-wise. You don't have a lot of plays drawn up for 13 yards out from the end zone. Like, this is a difficult situation for them to be in, but if anyone has something, it's Ben Johnson. There's a catch. Oh, hook and ladder to Swift. He's down at the 2-yard line, 14 seconds to go. Can they get to the line and get another playoff? Are they going to spike it, or are they going to try and get a playoff? I think they're going to spike it. They'll have one more shot if they can get the spike down. They do. 4 seconds to go. Caleb went over the middle to Loveland. Loveland with the hook and ladder to DeAndre Swift, who got it down to probably the 3-4 yard line, somewhere in that range. We saw this earlier. Buffalo ran the same thing on 4th down, and they got a 1st down out of it, ended up scoring a touchdown on this drive, but this was a great play design. Swift was waiting. There was no one near him as Loveland caught it, quickly flicked it to him, and I want to see exactly what yardage they're down at. Let's see. But there's Ben Johnson up to his old tricks again. When he needs something called, it's now a 2nd and goal. They're at the 3-yard line. There's 4 seconds left in this game. They motion Swift out wide. Caleb's looking. It's going to be the last play of the game. Evades a defender, looking in the end zone, has nothing. Needs a block, throws it in the end zone, and it hits the ground. San Francisco's going to win 42-38. Wow. Wow, what a game. I mean, what more could you ask for Sunday Night Football? So Chicago will not be the one seed. But coming out of this game, San Francisco is still very much alive for the one seed, and they will have a chance to earn it if they can beat Seattle next week. How about the job Kyle Shanahan has done? I mean, to patch this thing together as the season's gone on, and let's go back to the offseason, where they pay Brock Purdy the franchise number to make him their quarterback of the now and future. By doing so, they took away some of their strengths, which was their depth, specifically on defense, where for the last few years during this run, the San Francisco 49ers have had so many guys to rotate in and out at multiple spots on their defense. They lost that. Then the year starts, and they just start losing players left and right. First, Purdy with the injury. Kittle got hurt. Jennings was playing through multiple injuries. I mean, they haven't seen Brandon Ayuk all season long. Fred Warner's gone. Maybe he's back for the playoffs. Maybe that makes San Francisco a team worth betting in the futures market right now. But they've had injuries up and down. Bosa hasn't been there. Bosa's been hurt for a while. Yet here they are with a chance in week 18 now to play for the one seed. That's why I think Kyle Shanahan does have a strong case for Coach of the Year. He is now down to plus 150. Mike Vrabel and Kyle Shanahan for AP NFL Coach of the Year in the market are both at plus 150, following this game. That tells the story. That lets you know the job that Shanahan has done, and he's proving why he is worth every penny for the San Francisco 49ers. So that is where we stand. Final score, Sunday Night Football. The Niners win 42-38, as Chicago just ran out of a little bit of magic there at the end. But they made it interesting. Oh, did they make it interesting. And in terms of the bets that got home, in case you were playing any props, Caleb Williams goes over completions and attempts. He has 25 for 42 over on his yardage with 330, two touchdowns thrown. He was minus 111 to go over 1.5 touchdowns. He also clears his longest of 34.5. He does not throw an interception. That goes under at minus 169. Brock Purdy goes over on his completions and attempts just barely. Numbers were 22.5 and 32 in a hook. He had 24 for 33 through the air for 303, well over 252.5 pass yards. Goes over his 1.5 touchdowns, but that was minus 212 juice. Also goes over on his interceptions through one first play of the game at plus 119. In terms of his longest, he does get over that of 36.5 with a long of 38 to Juwan Jennings, which resulted in a touchdown. There, in terms of receiving yardage, Luther Burden III was your leading receiver, 8 for 138 in this game. His prop was set at 4.5 and 55.5 for Burden. Colston Loveland at 6 for 95 for Chicago. His number was set at 3.5 and at 42.5, so he gets over on both of those. For San Francisco, leading receivers Ricky Pearsall, 5 for 85 for Pearsall, whose number was 3.5 and 39.5. Jake Tonjes had 7 for 60. Juwan Jennings, 2 for 42, but that's under on his propage. Christian McCaffrey, 4 for 41, goes under on both of his props. I bet both of them. So I took what was a really profitable day and gave a little bit of it back to the books there with that play. And then on the other side, DeAndre Swift, 2 catches for 24 yards. Number was set at 1.5 and 12.5, so he gets over that. There, in terms of rushing the ball, McCaffrey led everyone. 23 for a buck 40 on the ground and a touchdown. Number was set at 17.5 and 68.5 for CMC, so he easily clears all that. Brock Purdy goes over his rushing, 6 for 28. His rushing yardage was 11.5 coming into this game. Brian Robinson just misses going over his rushing yards of 23.5. He finished the game with 22. On the other side, DeAndre Swift, 12.5 and 57.5. He goes under on both of those. And Kyle Menangai goes under on his 43.5 rush yards. We had some in-game misses in this game. Our in-game bet we hit was Pearsall over 4.5 receptions at plus 133. Menangai didn't get there. We went over 41.5 rush yards. We went Brian Robinson anytime touchdown at 7-1. And our pregame bets of CMC did not get home as well. So that's where we stand. Sunday Night Football's in the books, 42-38. The Niners with the lead. The Niners now in the Super Bowl market, 10-1 to win the Super Bowl. They are your 5th shot on the board, tied with the Philadelphia Eagles, which I think is really apropos. So I ask you the question, at Dustin Sweetelson, at VSiN Live, you can be a part of the program here. Who do you trust in the playoffs more? The Niners at 10-1, who have no defense and all offense, or the Eagles at 10-1, who have no offense and are all defense? Because there's a world where they collide. And I don't know how that game's going to go because their strength is on strength, and the weakness is on weakness. I think in that instance, you lean with the Eagles, but man, even against the worst defenses, they still find new ways to underwhelm you offensively. But I think that's really interesting. The Niners and Eagles are both 10-1 to win the Super Bowl, and they both have questions about one side of the football, and it's the opposite side of the football for each of the teams. Start the year, new year off as a better by becoming a VSiN Pro. Go get a subscription right now. It's the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now, get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That includes all the best bets from every show, the betting splits, Circa, and DraftKings, plus AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And we have everything covered, the college football playoff, the NFL playoffs, March Madness, the Masters. You'll get all of that with your VSiN Pro subscription. Plus, you'll get our college football betting guide complete with expert brackets, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, best bets, and more. Start the new year with an edge. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. When we return, we'll look back at what went down earlier in week 17, including why doesn't anyone want to win the NFC South?
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Broadcasting from the Circa Sportsbook, downtown Las Vegas, I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're locked into Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. In case you missed it, Sunday Night Football is in the books. A crazy up and down game. All offense, no defense. Niners win 42-38. Obviously, we go way over the total of 51.5. The Bears do cover, though, catching the 5.5 points, right? Is that what we closed at 5.5? Let me look at my notes. They do not cover. San Francisco covers 3.5. It was 5.5 in game I was thinking about. San Francisco covers the 3.5 point spread. We go way over the total with, 80 points scored in this game. Absolutely bonkers. And since that game is now in the books, we also have the schedule out for week 18. So here is what we are looking at when it comes to week 18. My producer, Adam Bernard, the best in the biz, sending me all of the information my way. And we will get started on Saturday with the NFC South being decided between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers. And here's how we ended up there, with that being the game on Saturday that America, unfortunately, is going to be locked into. Because based on what I saw today, neither team wants to make the playoffs. In fact, if the NFL wanted to step in and say, you know what, you've had so many opportunities here, I'd rather see New Orleans, I'd rather see Atlanta even. I don't want to deal with these two teams. I'm over Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, we're going to talk about them. You know, they won another division. Look at the division. Context has to matter. If any of these teams in this division ever get their S together, Tampa Bay is no longer going to keep winning divisions. In fact, I think there's a scenario where Todd Bowles could get fired even with them winning the division, because this feels like it happens a lot. Underwhelming, up and down, moments where you believe, moments where they look like a bad football team. But in case you missed it earlier today, Tampa Bay lost 20-17 to the Miami Dolphins. They lost to Quinn Ewers. Think about that. Quinn Ewers, the backup to Tua, the guy at Texas who everyone was yelling that Arch should have been starting over him for the last season, he went in his second start and beat the Buccaneers earlier today. Tampa Bay closed as 5.5-point favorites. And I need to know what happened to the Bucs. Someone has to explain it to me, because I try to use information to understand what's happening like any normal person would do in my situation. I have to have an opinion. I have to give you a reason why. What has gone wrong for the Bucs? They have lost 8 straight games against the spread. They are now an NFL worst 5-11 covering the number. They've lost 7 of 8 since their bye. In November, they were -$7 to make the playoffs. There was a point this year where I was literally coming on the air and complaining, and I do that a lot, but complaining about the FOMO of missing out on a Baker Mayfield 25-1 MVP ticket, where he was willing them to these one-score victories. And now there's a chance that Baker Mayfield has a shoulder, has a hip, has a knee injury, has all of these things. But still, the rest of the team has gotten healthier, and they keep taking steps back. I don't understand it. It doesn't really make sense to me. At one point, my Emeka Egbuka, I believe 16-1 offensive rookie of the year ticket, he was a heavy favorite. I was like, oh man, I nailed this market. I'm coming home. I'm going to win with Egbuka here. He has completely fallen away. He's tailed off. He's not even relevant. He's not even in the mix. But the thing that doesn't make sense to me is, like, they're at full strength. When they weren't at full strength, that's when they were pulling out the wins. Now they have everyone available and they can't figure it out. But for them, the division's on the line when they take on Carolina coming up here in week 18. And let's hear from Baker Mayfield, because following this loss, he discussed the mentality they have going into a matchup with the Panthers.
This is our last chance, and it's blatantly obvious. There's no more regular season games on the schedule. We have this one back at home, and it comes down to execution. X's and O's. It felt like we had a good plan going into it, and players have to deliver. When you know a division opponent as well as we know the Panthers and they know us, it's truly about executing your job to the best of your ability each play. And that's plain and simple. You know, at this point in the season, yeah, there might be a couple wrinkles here and there with the game plan, but what you see is what you get when you play a divisional opponent. So it's about executing, beating the guy across from you, and finding a way to win.
Tampa Bay opens laying 3 at home. Totals 43.5. I have a lean that I do like in this game. I may end up placing it before the end of the show, but Carolina on the road is not anything I want to be a part of. I also, based on the tone of Baker Mayfield, did you guys hear the way he sounds? I mean, that doesn't sound like someone who's ready to capitalize on this opportunity to somehow back into the playoffs, despite not being one of the best teams in the league, right? When you're going to be a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who right now are 7-9, you're going to be a sub-500 football team. I always think of the Commanders with Taylor Heineke doing that. I believe they did that with him at quarterback, making the postseason because someone had to win the NFC East. Like, when you're doing that, you have to at least seize the moment, seize the opportunity. I understand being down following the loss, but it's in front of you, bro. Like, you control your own destiny. Carolina lost too. Carolina lost, and at halftime, at home, they were tied with Seattle 3-3. By the way, Mike McDonald, the road warrior for the Seahawks head coach, just continues to dominate on the road, going across the country, going across multiple time zones, playing in that early window where people think that that's still a thing, where West Coast teams early window on the East Coast, not a thing, hasn't been a thing for a long time, and McDonald is really losing people money if they're still believing that that's something you can back as a better. But this was a horrible game, Seattle and Carolina. Seahawks won 27-10. It was 3-3 at halftime. Seattle, in control of the NFC, now heading into Week 18, battle with San Francisco. They beat them. They're the one seed. Niners win. They're the one seed there. But the story's for Carolina. Do you know since Week 7, this team has rotated winning and losing every other week? So it's win-loss, 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 win-loss. That's what they're doing the rest of the way. That's what Carolina has been. Bryce Young today went 14 of 24 for 54 yards in an interception. I will repeat, he threw for 54 yards. I'm sorry. I know there's been moments where you're like, hey, Dave Canales has unlocked Bryce Young. There's something there. He might be a quarterback. He's not a quarterback who can win you a Super Bowl. To me, it's very binary. When I look and evaluate quarterbacks in the NFL, can you / will you be able to win a Super Bowl or won't you? That's it. Are you capable of winning a Super Bowl? I've seen enough from Bryce Young. He may be able to get you the playoffs, may be able to get you a division every now and then. But for the most part, Bryce Young, I think we can stamp it, not a special quarterback, not a special talent, not someone who's going to hoist a Lombardi. So if I'm Carolina, I would move on from that in the offseason, especially if I'm Dave Canales. You only get one crack of being a head coach, and I actually think he's done a great job this year. I think what he's done with this roster, the turnaround from year one to year two, there has been growth in Bryce Young, but we know what the ceiling is, and the ceiling isn't anything special. To throw for 54 yards against Seattle at home, where he's traditionally been better at home than on the road, Bryce Young, that's just not acceptable. Had an interception. He was pressured by that Seattle front, which is no joke. I'll give them all the credit. Two sacks, an interception, a fumble recovery for the Seahawks defense, and they put him into panic mode. But that's the problem. He gets into panic way too much, way too often. And the Carolina offense, because he couldn't make them multidimensional, only had 139 total yards. They averaged 2.7 yards per play. They were 1-for-11 on third down. They didn't have a play longer than 11 yards. He didn't complete a pass for 11 yards. Think about that. Think about an offense in the modern football of 2025 not being able to do that in a single game, one time. And I'm looking at Carolina in this spot now, going up against Tampa Bay. I don't like them on the road. I only like them at home. I back them today. What an idiotic bet. I took the 7 with the Panthers, thinking with a chance to win the division, with a chance to put it away, they could at least keep it to a touchdown with the Seahawks. And instead, in the fourth quarter or the second half, they just completely melted down. They gave the game away. Seattle took control. They walk away with the win, 27-10. Here's Dave Canales, the head coach of the Panthers, talking about the failures of Carolina.
We definitely feel the missed opportunity, but at the same time, we know it's in front of us. It's clearly defined. It was going to come down to this game, us handling our business and facing the Bucs one more time on the last game of the season. Couldn't ask for a better situation for this. The guys are excited and fired up about that. And, you know, we got to get over the fact that we missed an opportunity, you know, with the Bucs losing that game. So, but our focus has to go to the next one really quickly.
All right, I don't know what to do. Baker Mayfield was too sad. He was too happy after a loss. I don't know what to do. Maybe I'm nitpicking here. Baker Mayfield, depressed, but still has a chance to make the playoffs and win the division. That sounded like a guy who was way too happy about his team only having 54 yards through the air for having 139 total yards against Seattle. I understand the spin zone, putting positivity out there into the atmosphere. I don't like what I heard from either side. Oh, we're going to hate watch this. It's the early game, by the way, in case you're just tuning in on Saturday. 1:30 on the West Coast, 4:30 on the East Coast. We're going to get the NFC South on the line between these two teams. I think the under 43.5 is the play. I don't trust either offense to get going. And I think that there's a lot of guys that aren't used to pressure pack situations. That usually leads to an under to me, especially for the offenses that are going to be grasping with Carolina going to Tampa Bay next week. The AFC North will also be decided in Week 18. I'll tell you when that game is going to be played and why the trends favor one of the sides. That's next on Cashing Out.